Welcome to Managing Myeloma. I'm Ola Langren. I'm Chief of the Myeloma Service at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York City. Today I'm going to talk about response assessment in myeloma. Is achieving response deeper than complete response and stringent complete response important? The first one is clonal diversity and selection and the clinical impact on minimal residual disease detection. Multiple myeloma has been found to be massively genetically heterogeneous already at diagnosis. Although there are very many genes that have been recognized to be mutated, we also know that there is a limited number of those genes that are the more frequent ones. Beyond having mutations, if you look in the very same patient and across the tumor cells that you can capture, the diversity of the mutational spectrum varies across the cells in the patient. Around 50% of the mutations that you can find in a patient, they actually only present in a quarter of that patient's tumor cells. Currently, we still use the diagnostic criteria based on the microscope, but if you were to apply more sophisticated technologies based on what I just showed you, you will be able to see that each and every patient has many subclones. And some papers indicate that that could be up to more than 10 myeloma subclones at the same time in the same patient. On a clinical note, it's important to keep this in mind because we know that different subclones seem to respond differently to given drugs. If you follow a patient over time and you use these more sophisticated molecular tools to follow the disease, you will be able to capture evidence of clonal tides. So the subclones, they are coming and going as you treat the patient if he or she relapses over time. To further illustrate the issue of clonal tides, let's look at this slide. This comes from work by Jonathan Keats and colleagues in Arizona. In the very beginning on the left, you see that the patient has a dominant clone being illustrated in red, but there are also subclones illustrated in orange, green, and gray. And you may be able to see there is a small little blue sliver of disease. And each of these colors represents subclones of multiple myeloma cells that together make up the total tumor burden. After diagnosis, the patient is treated, in this case, with lenalidomide dexamethasone. Unfortunately, the patient has recurrence later. And again, as you can see, the red proportion of the tumor burden is the major clone that comes back at the relapse. Orange is also the second largest. Again, the patient is treated with lenalidomide dexamethasone. The next time the disease comes back, on a clinical note, the genetic distribution shows that this time the green subclone is the one that is the dominant one. The red one is now the second largest, and the orange is the third largest. And as you see the disease coming and going when the patient is being exposed to different types of therapies, in the very end, unfortunately, the patient passes away and also unfortunately develops plasma cell leukemia. And you can see that almost the entire circle is now blue. And I pointed out in the beginning, there is a very small proportion of blue subclone. This is the one that comes and goes throughout the career of the disease. And given different therapies that are not delivering cure, you cause clonal selection. And unfortunately, the most aggressive clone is the one that develops into plasma cell leukemia and also leads to the patient's passing away. Now I'm going to focus a little bit more on the clinical aspects of this. The clinical implications and treatment responses of MRD are included in the International Myeloma Working Group's guidelines for response evaluation. And as you probably know, complete response is based on the negative immunofixation of the serum and the urine, and also disappearance of any soft tissue plasmacytoma. And a bone marrow biopsy has to be done showing less than 5% plasma cells in the bone marrow. Beyond complete response, we use the terminology stringent complete response, that is the same as complete response, but also a normalization of the free light chain ratio. The minimal residual disease criteria in the current guidelines imply that you can use flow, or you can also use molecular technologies to rule out minimal residual disease. You're currently working in the International Myeloma Working Group to come up with a new defined response criteria for minimal residual disease, and we anticipate to have this publication out in 2016. So keep an eye for that paper. I want to shed some light on the importance of using different drugs in the setting of MRD. So I made up a couple of scenarios. I made up scenario A, where you use study drug A. And just to illustrate what I'm after, here are 10 patients that are treated with this drug A. And as you can see, all the 10, they go from the bottom and they pass the first red line, the PR. They have a 50% reduction of the M spike. So we could conclude together that there is a 100% overall response rate because they all are PR or better. You also see that 5 of these patients, they have passed the CR line. So we can conclude in this scenario that drug A delivers a 50% complete response rate. Among the complete responders, 4 out of 5 or 80%, they are MOD 10 to minus 3. Let's look at another scenario. Here is a scenario with patients treated with drug, which I call drug B. All the 10 patients again passed the red line, so they passed PR. So this drug also delivers a 100% overall response rate. If you look for patients that have better than PR, you see that 6 out of 10 actually pass the CR, and they also pass MOD 10 to minus 5. They are all 10 to minus 5 negative. And 4 out of the 6, or 67%, were 10 to minus 6 negative. If we now put these two studies side by side, although we are not supposed to compare studies like this because that could be bias across studies, but just as a comparison. One way of thinking about it is that the two studies are very similar because both of them are, as you can see on the right, delivering 100% overall response rate. And when it comes to complete response, one is 50% and the other one is 60%. You could argue that that's pretty similar. And if you just use the term MRD negativity in a loose way, you could say that one of them delivered some type of MRD negativity in 80%, while the other one was 100% among the CR patients. But as I just illustrated on the previous two slides, you saw how the depth of response really differed, and study B with drug B is very much better in terms of delivering a deep response. So I would like to caution you, when you use MRD, you have to be very specific and say how that was done. If you look at across the board of the newer therapies that have been developed, we now have many therapies that can deliver 100% overall response rate. So to come back to what I was talking about, if you look at the detail, the depth of response, more importantly, we now have newer therapies that are reaching almost 100% for VGPR, or very good partial response. And the best studies that we have seen so far without transplant deliver more than 60% complete response rates. And some studies have indicated if you add transplant to that, it could go even higher. And the new monoclonal antibodies may also help and facilitate closer to 100% CR. Recently, there was a publication, a review paper in Nature Reviews, looking at all the studies that have been published comparing the relationship between MOD status and progression-free and overall survival. Importantly, in this paper, every study that has been done, independent of method that has been used to determine MOD status, show that MOD is highly correlated with both progression-free and overall survival. Here's a slide from the Spanish study group, and they have done a lot of work using flow cytometry to determine MOD. As you can see in the blue curve, patients that are MOD 10 to minus 5 negative, that means that 1 in 100 cells have been used as the cutoff and they still remain negative, they had the best progression-free survival. The red line represents patients that are positive 10 to minus 3 to 10 to minus 5. So it ranges between 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 100,000. And then you can see the black curve, patients that are more than 10 to minus 3 MOD positive. So there is beyond 1 to 1,000 positive. So clearly MOD is not a black and white thing, it's a continuous variable. Similarly, the British group, this is from the group in Leeds in the UK, looking into their MRC myeloma 9 study, they show that for each improved level of MOD detection from 10 to minus 1, minus 2, minus 3, and minus 4 on the left, there was longer progression-free survival and also overall survival on the right. In their hands, they claim that for each improved log of MOD detection, you have 1 year median overall survival benefit. So that means if you go from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 10,000 negative with that degree of sensitivity, you gain a year, or from 10,000 to 100,000, etc. We have used technologies in our studies. We have used both flow cytometry that can deliver 10 to minus 5, so 1 in 100,000. And we have also used next generation sequencing, where we have sequenced for VDJ, which has a higher sensitivity and a higher reproducibility. And here we show if you distinguish patients being negative and positive with these two technologies for progression-free survival, you see how they separate. As you can see on the top, in the patient group that is negative 10 to minus 5, unfortunately, there is evidence of progression. When you use the VDJ sequencing in that same patient, that patient would then be moved to the positive curve on the lower part of this slide. So simply, it's a matter of sensitivity. If I've not convinced you yet, I say it again, MRD is not arbitrary, it is a continuous marker. So we do not know if 10 to minus 5 or 6 or higher is really what we need to achieve in order to reach a cure. So for right now, although MRD stands for minimal residual disease, where we are right now, I think we have to, as clinicians, remember that we are talking about measurable residual disease. And I do not say that in order to try to change the acronym, but just keep that in mind. Now I want to talk about incorporating MRD testing into clinical practice. There are these different technologies. I have already outlined flow cytometry. I mentioned VDJ sequencing. This is again from the Nature Review paper in 2015 by Dr. Malan Cody. These are the four platforms that have been used around the world, from left to right: ASO-PCR, VDJ sequencing, exome or genome sequencing, or flow cytometry. I think it's fair to say that the VDJ sequencing and flow cytometry, they are the two leading platforms. ASO-PCR is very tedious and has a lot of limitations, so I think that's not part of the future. Also, exome and genome sequencing could potentially be part of the future, but there is much more work that needs to be done in order for that to become true. The strengths of VDJ sequencing is that it's more sensitive, it has very low inter-observer variation. The downside with it at this point is that it's less available, but I think that there will be new platforms becoming available in the coming 12 months, and I think that will probably change the field quite a lot. Flow cytometry, the major strength is that it's commonly available, and a downside is that there is a great inter-observer variation, and also the antibodies and the gating strategies vary a lot across different hospitals. So for right now, I think flow cytometry is the leading platform, but I do foresee that VDJ sequencing probably will become the standard in the future. I would like to emphasize the fact that when we send samples for VDJ sequencing or we send it for flow cytometry, the sample is really the most important step to begin with. When we talk about sensitivity, that's obviously an important aspect, but there is a very practical aspect that maybe even trumps the sensitivity. It's really the quality of the sample. We did a survey a couple of years ago when we asked the 30 leading myeloma centers in the United States if they conducted MRD testing for myeloma. And as you can see on the right, 11 of those 30 centers answered yes. What was a little bit surprising is if you look at which sample they received for flow cytometry for MRD testing, you see on the left the first pool, the second or the third pool, or they didn't know on the very left, and you see how it distributes across these 11 institutions. So only three institutions had the first pool from the aspirant. Why is this important? Well, we know that as you keep on going in more pools, you will have more and more blood coming in to the syringe, and hemodilution becomes a major problem. This is a study showing that the first pool has much less hemodilution, but already the second pool and subsequent pools have moderate or significant hemodilution impact. So send samples from the first pool. That's very, very important if you want to have an accurate readout from your laboratory. I would like to give you my perspective on future directions when it comes to MRD testing in multiple myeloma. I do think we will have much more focus on maintained MRD negativity. The way I view it is that I think we will use modern combination therapy with more than the three drugs, and on purpose I put X drugs. I do think we will use the current three drug combinations and probably add a biologic drug to that. We will reach very deep responses, and I think using MRD 10 to minus 6 is really reasonable to use as the benchmark. We already have data showing that that is better for progression-free and overall survival across the studies that have used that tool. So that is where I would set the bar. On purpose, I highlighted in orange another box after the modern combination therapy, and that represents potentially transplant, potentially not. And I don't know if we need to do that if you reach 10 to minus 6. That's a question we need to look into further. After the orange therapy has been delivered, extended therapy or maintenance therapy for some time, and we don't know really what the optimal time is. So to measure MRD status over time and to ensure that the patient maintains MRD 10 to minus 6 during and also after, if we stop the continued therapy with maintenance, I think it will be very reasonable. So what I'm outlining here is a paradigm where we use very effective therapy upfront, maybe without, maybe with autologous transplant, with some extended therapy. And the goal is really to see if we can deliver a curative strategy. So the new focus I foresee in the very near future is to deliver therapy and to ensure and maintain 10 to minus 6 negativity. For those patients who do not reach in their MRD negativity, we need to direct research to dissect mechanisms of MRD positivity and figure out what's going on, develop the targets, and develop intervention strategies. Also, for those patients that are MRD 10 to minus 6 negative, if they are followed over time, if some of these patients were to fall back and become MRD positive again, it's going to be, I think, increasingly important for us to develop new treatment studies looking into if we can intervene the disease before it becomes symptomatic. So that will be another area for drug development, as the way I view it. Here is an algorithm for a proposed MRD-driven treatment paradigm for newly diagnosed patients that I have developed together with my colleague, Dr. Giralt. And this is based on our experience in our clinic. We are thinking about doing management for myeloma in our clinic the following way. For every patient, you start with modern therapy on the left, and you have the two trajectory of either becoming MRD minus 6, 10 to minus 6 negative, or 10 to minus 6 positive. Ideally, of course, 10 to minus 6 negative. For those patients, we feel we are almost at the juncture where we probably can tell patients that maybe the additional melphalan and high-dose therapy with stem cells followed by maintenance is equally reasonable to just to go to maintenance right away and collect and keep the cells in the freezer. And this is certainly something where we need more data to back up, but I think we are at a point where we need to address this question. For patients that still are positive, we think it's very reasonable to deliver the high-dose melphalan with stem cells followed by maintenance, but it doesn't seem completely unreasonable to do some additional modern therapy before you go there, or if you give some additional modern therapy and you can convert it into negativity, maybe patients could be counseled the same way as those who reach MRD 10 to minus 6 negativity right away. And I think this is a very exciting and provocative approach, and we are trying to address this and build studies looking into these questions. So the way I view modern combination therapy in the future, including MRD, is that using new drugs, we can induce rapid, deep, and sustained MRD negativity. And as a consequence of that, I do think we will have more and more focus on quality of life. And this is one of my patients who sent me this picture just a couple of weeks ago. He was diagnosed in the end of last year, and only a few months out, he's doing very well out skiing. And this patient has multiple myeloma. He had 50% plasma cell infiltration at diagnosis. And I think it's very fascinating to see how this disease has really changed in very few years. Thinking years back, overall survival was only 2-3 years. Now we have probably 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 years with all the new treatments. And we are sitting here talking about maybe developing a curative strategy. It's amazing. So to summarize and conclude my presentation, MRD negativity is consistently associated with longer progression-free and overall survival. The two tools that are available are flow cytometry-based MRD assays, and that's commonly available, and VGJ-based sequencing MRD-based assays. They are not as commonly available, but I think they are on the way into our clinics very soon. In my opinion, we need to develop non-bone marrow biopsy-based MRD 10 to minus 6 technologies. I think they are urgently needed to match the newer therapies that are coming soon to clinic, as we will be able to treat patients with better therapies delivering better responses. We need to have tools where we don't need to poke the patient into the skeleton and cause a lot of pain in order to make sure that we have a maintained MRD negativity. So that's something that we are working on, and a lot of other groups are working on that as well. With that, I would like to thank you so much for your attention.